You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church. Thanks for joining us here on this Thursday. We're tuning in now to God's frequency. Fasten your safety belts. We're going to have an awesome time through the Word of God here, as we always do. Word of God speak. We're going to read some awesome things here today, that God has got your back, that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And the simple, this is why the Apostle Paul calls it the simplicity that is in Christ. Peter explains it in one verse, that whoever believes in him shall receive remission of sin. And then it says, then the Holy Spirit fell on everyone who heard the word. That's the simplicity that is in Christ. Believe the gospel, as the Lord said. So we're in the book of Acts. We're in chapter 12. The sermon is entitled The Perils of Peter. We're going to see, and right in the midst of, this started yesterday, if you missed the first part, we're right in the midst of watching Peter's remarkable deliverance from being chained to 16 soldiers. He had four squads of four soldiers, guards, that's better yet, guards, were employed with watching over the Apostle Peter to make sure he didn't escape. And we're going to see that when your work on earth is not done, I don't care how many people Satan has to guard you, because no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And until your work here on planet Earth is done, it doesn't matter what Satan throws your way. It doesn't matter what kind of cancer or sickness or traffic accident or banana peel. Nothing will thwart the child of God who is in the will of God from carrying out the will of God. Nothing. That's where we're at. We're witnessing that with the Apostle Peter today. This is part two of this message. I invite you guys to church this Sunday. We're having an exciting time through the book of Acts. We'll be in chapter 13 this Sunday morning at 10:30. Here today, we're looking at the perils of Peter. The Apostle Paul, speaking of Satan, he says, we're not ignorant of his devices. That Greek word for devices is the word noema. It's the Greek word for your mind. What would they say in Star Wars? Jedi mind trick. It's never your heart. It's not your spirit. That's 2 Corinthians 2:11. That's the third add-in for that handout as well. 2 Corinthians 2:11. The Apostle Paul says, we're not ignorant of what this devil does. He messes with your mind. That's where he has access. He doesn't have access to your heart. He can't get to your spirit man, because your spirit man is one with the Lord. But he works his evil with thoughts. You know, I read something from Neil Anderson. He's an excellent Christian counselor. And he said, and I quote, he said, I have assured hundreds of people under spiritual attack that they're not going crazy, but that there is a battle going on for their minds, unquote. And that's why people respond negatively to the truth that God loves them. That truth got Jesus killed. Satan deceives people by thoughts. The end of the world will be initiated by thoughts. That's the first verse, the extra verse for your handout I gave you. Ezekiel chapter 38, verses 7 through 10. By thoughts, the end of the age and the end of the world is going to come about because of someone planted a couple thoughts in some wacko's head. Revelation 16, 2. I saw spirits, three unclean spirits like frogs, sent out into all the world to gather together everyone for the battle of the great day of God Almighty. That comes through a psst. Have you heard? It's all right here in your mind. Now, back to Peter, verse 5. Now, Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Remember that as we go forward? Now, when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. So there's your four, at a minimum at least. Verse 7, now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side, raised him up, saying, arise quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, put your drawers on, Pete. We're going for a walk. He said, gird yourself and put your shoes on. Tie your sandals. So he did. And he said to him, put on your garment and follow me. So he went out and followed him. And he did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but he thought he was seeing a vision. But when they were past the first and second guard post, now maybe there's a few more, not just four there. Now he's gone past the second guard post. So when they were past the first and second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them on its own accord. And they went out, went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from it. All right, so let me see if I get this straight. And let's see if God is really in this or not, shall we? Number one, Peter's in prison. Secondly, there's four groups of four soldiers, that have him in their custody. Number three, Peter's in chains to two different guards. Number four, Peter gets past not just one, but two guard posts. Number five, Peter gets through an iron gate. And the iron gate opens up just like Count Dracula's front doors. They probably creaked too. Opens up all by itself. What do you think? Is God in this or not? All the while, right down the street, all the believers are gathered together, praying around the clock for the leader of the church not to be killed, just like James was the day before. Imagine how he must have felt on that probably cold March evening as he walked free again. Would you ever doubt God again? Would you ever doubt God again if this happened to you? And yet, he's done that very thing for me as well, personally, by preventing my death on I-95 while I fell asleep with the cruise control on my car at 79 miles per hour. And I fell as sound asleep as a person could be. 79 miles an hour on cruise control. And when I hit the car next to me, there was a rubber mark, maybe a millimeter or a centimeter, a little rub that I got up with my elbow afterwards and went, and it was gone. My life totally changed from that day on. Thank God you didn't have to. You didn't get that dreaded phone call at 3 o'clock in the morning. Your husband is dead. And then I realized, you see, God's got my back and he's not done with me yet. And what he did for Peter, I won't say he will do for you. I'll say he's doing for you right now. He's doing this for you right now in your life. Maybe someday I believe you'll find out about it. How many times
some angel prevented you from dying as well, the same as Peter, might not be in such a dramatic fashion as me or Peter. I'm sure I'll fall short in countless other ways, but I know without a shadow of a doubt that God is large and in charge, and God has got this old Italian's back. No one can take that from me. You'll get me a million other ways, but you're not going to get that one from me. The realization that God is for me, that's why I preach these verses all the time, right? When and then, what, Psalm 56, verse 9, when I call out to you, then my enemies will scatter. This I know, because God is for me. I learned this stuff falling asleep on the highway. You read about it, but sometimes things happen in your life where you'll really get a glimpse and a hold that truly, church family, God is on your side. And God is for you. And that's the last verse I gave you to add to the, under the handout, Isaiah 54, that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, because no demon from hell can take you out until your work here on planet Earth is done. And that's the truth. That's the truth. When God prevents you from dying, something happens to you on the inside. Now back to Peter, standing in the middle of the street. God rescued him in the midnight hour. Acts chapter 12, verse 11. Now when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jews." And that expectation was the Romans are finally going to kill this guy, this Peter, right? This troublemaker, Peter. The nerve of this guy running around town telling people that God loves him. Imagine that. They always kill you. And what hope can a man possibly have once Caesar has condemned you to death? That's the hope of the Jews, that they're finally going to kill this guy and get rid of him. In man's eyes, all is lost. But when you trust in God and when you are in his employ, you can boldly say, like David wrote, "What can man do to me? God is for you." That brings me to what the Apostle Paul said. What shall we say about all this? If God is for us, who possibly could be against you when God is for you? I take that back. I do mean to sound like a cheerleader today. I make no apologies for that. I'm just here to remind you, Island Community Church family, and those watching or those that are listening, that if you have follow through on that simple verse of Acts chapter 10, verse 43. As many as believe in him will receive remission of sins. If you have done that simple verse, then I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. God's not giving us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and a sound mind. The devil's the one responsible for messing with your mind. He doesn't want you to know this truth, that God is for you. Now, back to Peter, all right? He's standing in the streets, verse 12. So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. This is the man who wrote the Gospel of Mark, that Mark. Where many were gathered together praying. Now, as Peter knocked on the door, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. And when she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she didn't open the gate. But she ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. And they said to her, "Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. And then they said, no, that's his angel. So let me see if I get this straight now. You're all in here praying around the clock that the spiritual leader of the church would be delivered and saved, all right? So the doorbell rings, you gaze at the people, and lo and behold, there's Peter. And what's your response? Thou art mad. That's a hilarious study. I couldn't wait for Sunday to get up here, make you guys laugh. That's crazy. Thou art mad. Verse 15, and they said to her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed, that is, it's no, really, it's him. She constantly affirmed that it was even so. Really? No, Peter's here. You're mad. Peter's here. So you can hear it, right? Here's the prayer. Please release Peter, release Peter, release Peter, release Peter, release Peter, release Peter. Turn around. There's Peter at the door. And what do you say? Thou art mad. You can't make this stuff up. That's answered prayer. Now, even funnier yet, catch Peter's eyes rolling now with the next verse. But Peter continued to knock. Right? He's knocking. Open up, it's me. You're crazy, that ain't him. Open up and me. No, that's not him, that's his angel. Open up the door, here I am. Please, someone open. So, but Peter continued knocking. And when they opened the door, they saw him and they were astonished. But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, go, tell these things to James and the brethren. James is the ruler. He's the pastor of the church in Jerusalem. Jesus' half-brother who wrote the book of James, that James. So go and tell James and the brethren. And he departed, that's Peter, and he went to another place. Verse 18, all right, someone now is going to have to pay for this treachery that's happening. You got 16 guys guarding the guy. Uh-oh. Someone is going to pay for this. Now, as soon as it was day, look what it says. There was no small stir among the soldiers about what had happened to Peter. I bet I can hear it now. What about you? What happened to Pete? It's more likely, here it comes, you know, you fell asleep. No, you fell asleep. No, you fell asleep. No, you fell asleep. There was no small stir about what had happened to Pete. Then you get to, well, who opened the prison? You let him out. No, you let him. No, you let him. No, you let him. No, you let him out. You let him out. This is going back and forth. Then, of course, you get to the iron gate. Who did that, pray tell? No, you opened it. No, you opened the gate. No, you opened the gate. No, you opened the gate. As they say, that proverbial saying, this is probably where it came from. Heads are going to roll for this. Someone's got to pay the brunt of what's happened. You got 16 guys guarding someone, and by golly, when God is on your side, it doesn't matter how many guards you got outside the door. Because when God is for you, who can be against you? I don't care how many people you put at the door. I don't care. Verse 19. Now when Herod had searched for him and not found him, he examined the guards and commanded that they should be put to death. I can hear Herod now, right? Asleep, 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 asleep. Boy, that'll wake up everyone better than my gavel in here this morning. Asleep. When Herod had searched for him and couldn't find him, he examined the guards and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and he stayed there. Now, the important thing to learn here is this. From them to you, and that is this. There is no stopping the child of God who is in the will of God until their work on earth is done. Take that truth home with you today. There's no stopping you. No gun, no devil, no cancer, no traffic accident, no 79 mile an hour cruise control, no hater, no deranged progressive, and no banana peel. Until that day that your work is done and you've passed the baton onto someone else and onto the next generation. Some of that of which Luann is working on in the other room right now as we speak. Should the Lord tarry, nothing can prevent you from carrying out and fulfilling God's will for you. Nothing. Verse 20. Now Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, but they came to him with one accord. And having made Blastus, the king's personal aide, their friend, they asked for peace because their country was supplied with food by the king's country. You know, I've always wanted to name my son Blastus. Can you imagine that, Carol? Blastus Esposito, right? How would that radio announcement go, Sharon? And now here with today's message is Pastor Blastus. What a moniker for this guy, Blastus. That's what Larry Lamb calls me, Blastus. All right, verse 20. Now Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, but they came to him with one accord, having made Blastus, the king's personal aide, their friend. They asked for peace because their country was supplied with food by the king's country. Verse 21, so on a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, he sat on his throne and he gave an oration to them. And the people kept shouting, the voice of a god and not of a man. Then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God. And he was eaten by worms and died. I think that's the same way his grandpappy died as well. Boy, talk about generational curses. There you have it. But the word of God grew and multiplied. See, the gates of hell won't get in the way and will never prevail against the advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You'll drop dead for your resistance, but the gospel's going to shine forth. Now, Barnabas and Saul, verse 25, Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem. When they had fulfilled their ministry, they also took with them John, whose surname was Mark. So, another Herod bites the dust. And again, what an evil family this is. So, in the words of the famed theologian, Elmer J. Fudd, he says, good riddance to bad rubbish. Another one's gone. But be careful what you read, too. Because on the Wikipedia website, it'll say there that Agrippa was poisoned by one of his pals and died 5 days later from stomach cramps. Be careful what you read online. Because people doubt the supernatural. Believe God at his word when you read that. The Bible says an angel of the Lord struck him immediately and he died. And also, like I said, the mark here where the early Christians gathered at his mother's house is the Mark who wrote the Gospel of Mark, very close with Peter. The Gospel of Mark really is the Gospel of Peter. As Peter spoke it to Mark, Mark wrote it down. All right, so unfortunately, we're pretty much done with tracking the life and the ministry of the Apostle Peter. We'll see him, I think, perhaps one more time, because the book of Acts is now going to shift from Peter over to Paul now. So as you guys will see there on that handout, I'll read these few that are on here. A list of the comparisons between Peter and Paul. So Peter heals a man lame from birth. Paul heals a man lame from birth. Peter heals people by a shadow. Paul heals people by handkerchiefs or aprons. Peter's success is a cause for Jewish jealousy. Paul's success also is a cause for Jewish jealousy. Peter confronts Simon, a sorcerer. Paul confronts Bar-Jesus, a sorcerer. Peter raises Tabitha to life. Paul raises Eutychus to life. Peter is jailed and freed miraculously by God. Paul, when we get to chapter 16, also is jailed and freed miraculously by God. Now, we'll pick it up in chapter 13 next week. But allow me to close once again with this truth. There is no stopping the child of God who is in the will of God until their work on earth is done. And someday, I believe, you'll actually find out just how many times an angel did the same for you as he did for Peter. Let's pray. Lord, we exalt you. We thank you for the truth. And like you said, that we'll know the truth and the truth will set us free. Here today, you've set us free from bondage, understanding, and we pray we continue to understand. Help us to take these, help these truths to sink deep into our soul, that you are for us, and that no weapon formed against us, indeed, no weapon formed against us can prosper. We thank you for all the times unknown to us or known that you've delivered us from death because our work was not done yet. Help us to remember these truths as we move forward. Help us to always remember that you haven't given us a spirit of fear, but one of power and one of love and one of a sound mind. We praise your holy name in this, your house here today. We exalt you now, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Welcome to another edition of Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. Well, imagine being part of the massive crowd following Jesus every day, hearing him teach, watching him heal, considering becoming his disciple. Then one day, Jesus tells you and those with you, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." John, those are serious words. And the question is, what was Jesus getting at when he told the crowd they needed to hate their families?
Well, we want to understand that that's the word hate in terms of contrast. A similar statement in Matthew 10:37 is the key to understanding this difficult contrast. The hatred called for here is actually a lesser love. Jesus was calling his disciples to cultivate such total devotion to him, such total commitment to him, that their attachment to everything else, including their families, and he even said to hate their own life, would seem like hatred by comparison. In other words, our Lord is saying, your family may keep you from coming to me, because if you come to me, you're going to be alienated from them. Your possessions may keep you from coming to me, because in coming to me and following me, you may forfeit your possessions. You may forfeit your place in life. You may be persecuted and lose your life. And he was forcing the issue of how important is it for you to receive the salvation that I offer? Is it more important than any possession, any prestige, any relationship you possess? And he still calls for the same total commitment at any price.
This is Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. If you have a question for John, visit MacArthurCommentaries.com.
Portions of WMIE's broadcasting day are underwritten by Treasure Your Landscape. Treasure Your Landscape is a licensed and insured family business based in Brevard County with many years of experience in the landscaping business. They always work hard to gain your utmost